Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I'm not very happy. I'm going to start by saying that, and we'll get into a lot of the reasons why, but...
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know...
It's going to be a long show, isn't it?
I hope not. The movie was long enough.
Okay. So we got somebody that, no spoilers, sounds like doesn't care for Free Willy. We got somebody that loves Free Willy. And that's what we're talking about on the episode today. I can't wait to get into it. Thank you guys for hitting that download button on the podcast today. Remember to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube. That will make sure you never miss an episode, and it's the best way to help support the show. JD, before we jump into Free Willy, let's travel back to last week. We talked about Office Space. What was your feedback from our Office Space episode?
Thank you for everybody that tuned in and listened to us ramble and rant about the satire that is Office Space, and I got good feedback. A lot of people that had listened to the episode and reached out and said that they liked our banter in it, which was good. Anytime that we can hear that we're not making asses of ourselves is, in my book, a success.
It's a huge plus, yeah. Always nice not to make a total ass out of ourselves. I love the episode. I listened to some of it back this weekend when I was driving. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought my impressions were better than they were. I was not all that impressed with my impressions when I listened to it back. You laugh like a hyena during the episode. But then I was like, it was all right.
I thought it was spot on.
Yeah. What can you do? It's hard to pull off a good Gary Cole.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Give it another crack. Let the new listeners hear what you have to, what you're able. What are you working with?
Okay. Well, that's all I got.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Not good. I'm telling you.
If that's what it sounded like last time, then I retract all of my laughter. You earn none of it.
So what's up, man? How's the week going? I guess we're at the end of the week. How was your week?
Cold. I'm done with this cold weather. Yeah, and here's the thing is I like winter. I am very fond of the snow. I really like it colder rather than hot. But this winter, man, just chiseling down on every inch and fabric of my being. I'm done with it.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about the winter is the snow. One of the things I hate about the winter is when for some reason it just gets really windy and then it gets cold and then it rains. It's like, if it's going to snow, just fucking snow. I don't need to deal with all these other factors. Like today, I thought I was in the movie Twister. I was like, geez, we got cows. But it was really my trampoline going across the yard.
Debris!
The suck zone, man. That's going to be a fun episode. We got to do that one at some point, right?
Yeah, obviously we have to. I've got a really funny Twister story too.
Ooh, good. From the game? Naked?
Oh, I see what you did there. Okay. Hey, how's that going?
It's going all right.
Yeah, the being clever, that's working for you?
Eh, from time to time.
Okay.
I will say this. I did go and watch Fighting With My Family. I know we're going to cover that next week on the podcast. It's like a three-part wrestling extravaganza. I'm excited to discuss it. I really love the movie. I think you'll like it too. I'm sure you haven't watched it yet though.
I have not. It is on the docket, locked and loaded, ready to roll it, but I haven't seen it yet. I almost watched Ready to Rumble, but haven't watched that yet either.
That's a fun one, too.
I'm so excited.
It's such a good episode.
It's going to be
really looking forward to it.
Probably our lowest downloaded episode ever.
I don't think so. I think a lot of people really like wrestling.
Have we ever asked our fans?
No, but I mean, our Hulk Hogan poll did good. Even though it was a terrible movie, our episode downloads for Suburban Commando was really good.
Okay, well, maybe I'm underestimating our audience. I'm excited. I saw Ready to Rumble in theaters.
Oh, wow.
Oh, heck yeah. You didn't?
No.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, how far do you want to go with this?
I'm not even going to say the comment I was going to say. Just audience know that it was a very bad and offensive comment, and I decided to redact it.
I appreciate that. Let's get to the reason we're here. This week, we're discussing the 1993 American family drama film directed by Simon Winsor, produced by Lauren Chuler Donner and Jenny Lou Tugin. They should have more last names. And written by Keith Walker. The film stars James Jason Richter as a foster boy who befriends a captive orca. The film received positive attention from critics and was a commercial success, grossing over $150 million between domestic and international on just a $20 million budget. Of course, if you want to hear us break down the numbers in more detail, as long as the critic response, go ahead and check out our teaser trailer episode that dropped on Monday and listen to us break it down in more detail. The film eventually grew into a small franchise, spawning 3 sequels and a video game companion. JD, I know you did not watch any of the Free Willy films, but I know you're an avid gamer back in the day. Did you ever play the Free Willy game?
I had no idea there was a game.
Yeah, apparently. It doesn't say what type of game. I'm sure a quick Google search could figure that out.
Was it anything like Echo the Dolphin?
You know what? I never played Echo the Dolphin, to be honest with you. I don't know what that is.
No, Echo the Dolphin I can get behind. I'll tell you what, I also got behind a little bit of Growl on Sega Genesis. If anybody listening ever played Growl, please tweet at me because that game was fantastic. Save all the animals with a whip, a rocket launcher, and a machine gun? Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm not seeing too much on the video game side. The only thing I could find was a CD-ROM game, and I was never really into CD-ROM games. Did you play any back in the day?
I had a few. I was a big fan of SimCity and SimTower and SimIsland and SimTown. Had all of those on CD-ROM.
Yeah.
And we'll probably get into this into the wrestling episode, but there was a time when wrestling video games were a completely different beast. And I forget, there was an interview where somebody from the WWF, they were just like, you just can't have a practical wrestling game. There was a game, WrestleMania, the arcade game, that I want to say it was out on arcade. I played it on PC, but it was during a time when there wasn't like a classic like grappling style wrestling game. So all of the wrestlers were given like Mortal Kombat style moves. And like the Undertaker like shot spirits at people. And like they were hitting each other with like swords and axes and all sorts of weird ass stuff. It was totally off the wall. But I played that on PC.
Okay. That sounds really cool.
It was a cool game, but it was before like WCW versus NWO came out.
Yeah.
And before, like, the Attitude Era was in, like, full effect. We'll get to it in the wrestling episode. Let's focus on Freedom William, the reason why we're here.
Freedom Willie. Now, most of the close-up shots for Willie, such as when Willie's in the trailer and the sequences where Willie's swimming in the open water, those are all animatronic stand-ins. Will Conti, who supervised the effects for the orcas, estimated that half of the shots of the orca were animated stand-ins, and then the smaller movements of the real orca actually made things kind of difficult in some ways for him and the crew. So they had to concentrate on smaller nuances in order to make the character seem alive. And of course, the biggest CGI is the climax of the film where Willie jumps over Jesse and into the wild. And JD, watching the movie, did you feel like there was a lot of animatronic, or were you thinking it was more the actual whale for the majority of the time?
It felt pretty organic and natural. I don't think the animatronics really took away from it. The CGI ending most certainly did. Please, there's no way you can tell me you were not laughing.
No, not when I was a kid. I thought it really happened, man.
But here we are, 25, 26 years later, and
still real to me, damn it.
Can you believe that this movie is that old?
No, I can't. But that never seems to amaze me. Every week we do movies, I'm like, this movie's 20 years old? I swear to God, I just watched this in theaters. Well, we're going to dive more into Free Willy here in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on the other side here with the full review.
What are you doing, Doc?
I need fuel.
Do you like the Tales from the Crypt? Do you love the Tales from the Crypt? Even if you've never seen an episode, this podcast is for you. I'm Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and host of the Good Evening Kitties podcast. Each week, I break down another great episode from the TV series, The Tales from the Crypt. Audio clips are included, so even if you haven't watched that episode, you're good to go. There are also special guests, trivia, mini movie reviews, and much more. What are you waiting for? Check out the Good Evening Kitties podcast on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Good Evening Kitties podcast. Check it out today.
Okay, we're back, ready to start up the full review here. JD, are you ready?
I'm ready, but not in a good way.
Okay.
I know you were hoping that this was going to be a Super Mario Brothers movie type of a revelation I was going to have, but I gotta say, not happening for me.
I thought you were going to say you loved it.
Oh, you
let
wish.
Let me down again, son of a bitch.
One of these days, you will get a movie that I thought I hated that I suddenly love.
Okay. Well, let's get going here. So the film starts with some shots of killer whales in the ocean, and we cut to the fishermen who are tracking the orcas. They drop a net and they capture one of them. And kind of a sad scene here as you hear the orca making this high-pitched dry, like, cry under the water. And then we cut to young Jesse, who's panhandling in the streets to get some money. He gets money pretty easily, but his friend Perry's not so lucky. They meet up and total up all the change, and then they ransack a restaurant before the busboy can clean off the table. And let's take a second to talk about our lead actor here. I don't know when we're going to talk about him again. He's been in a couple movies, but what do you think of James Jason Richter as Jesse?
I've got two thoughts about Jesse here. The first is he's totally just a poor man's Charlie Conway.
Okay.
So I obviously didn't like him, as most all Charlies I dislike.
Yeah.
The second is, what was with kid actors in the 90s using their first name, middle name, and last name? Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Zachary Ty Bryant. Why was this a thing?
That's a great question. I don't know that it was just like kid actors. I think it was pretty much across the board. I feel like there's a lot of actresses too that had like three names.
That and Killers, like John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
Who was an actor.
Yeah, yes, he was. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so other than him being very Charlie-ish, you thought his performance was not great?
You're really going to wiggle this down to try to get compliments out of me, aren't you?
I'm working on it.
As far as kid actors go, yeah, he did a pretty decent job. I think he wasn't over the top where you can hate him or unbelievable. He did a fine job. I mean, that's why he's a poor man's Charlie Conway, because I didn't hate him as much as I hate Charlie Conway.
Okay. And I think you got to give him a little credit too for the fact that this is his real first film. Like, I don't think he did any commercials beforehand, like from nothing to this. $150 million movie. That's impressive.
He had a nice haircut.
Yes, he did. Oh, the one thing I wanted to point out in this opening scene here, I don't know if you picked up on this, but one of the homeless kids here, the girl, is a young Danielle Harris. Did you notice her?
I didn't, but when I visited the IMDb after watching the film, I was like, wait a second, no way.
Be honest, like, how much more would you love this movie if it was her instead of him?
As the lead?
Yeah.
Oh, guaranteed. And not just, and you know, let's be progressive a little bit, because so many of these kids' movies did focus on a 8 to 13 year old white suburban kid who gets everything he ever dreams of. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, you know, for the African American community, you have Cop and a Half.
Yeah, not much.
Who's what name? What, we had the Babysitter's Club for females.
Yeah, but even then, there's a lot of there's a lot of male characters in there too. Yeah, you bring up a good point there. Yeah, I mean, the girls from Now and Then, that's a great movie. But that's about it that I can think of. Now, we're at a skate park, and they're eating the stolen food in the cake, and cops come, and they try to nab them here, but they're able to get away, and then Jesse somehow stumbles into this aquarium, and him and Perry start making graffiti on the wall, and the room lights up, and we get our first shot of Willie here. And then the cops come and they're able to grab Jesse as Perry gets away. JD, what were your first thoughts here on seeing Willie in the tank?
I was more concerned with what their half-assed graffiti was. What were they doing? It wasn't penises. You know that a kid in 1993 was tagging penises. And they're just doing squiggles?
Mm-hmm.
And they did so many squiggles.
Yeah, I remember being like Jonah Hill's character in Superbad. Like, I just had a box full of dicks.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't let me even eat things later after that because of the whole dick thing. I couldn't have bananas, popsicles, anything. Hot dog.
That's a whole nother problem.
Yeah, weird. Now, Jesse.
But I will go back and say that it was really funny the way that he reacts as if he's never been introduced to a whale before. Like,
yeah.
He's like, what is this thing? Like, it was Jurassic Park and he's seeing a dinosaur for the first time. And I thought that was funny.
Yeah. He, in his defense, he probably really had not seen a whale before. I mean, I was not really aware of killer whales before I saw this movie. So I'd be a little freaked out by a 20-foot, one-ton fish.
So it's in glass. What's it going to do to you?
I don't know. So Jesse and his social worker, Dwight, are talking in the next scene, and Dwight tells him that he found placement for him. Jesse doesn't quite understand why anyone would want him in their home. Jesse asked if he's heard from his mom, and Dwight says, no one's heard from your mom in 6 years. So we cut to Jesse's new home, where he's meeting his foster parents, Annie and Glenn. Annie played by Jane Atkinson, Glenn played by Michael Madsen. JD, what do you think of the parents here? A couple of veteran actors.
Dude, Glenn is fantastic. He is such a cool, like, obviously Madsen is a fantastic actor. But the character of Glenn is just so, so typical. I don't know, like, his shirt even says Glenn on it, in case you forget who he is.
Right.
And as we know from our episode in our archives, Wedding Singer, everybody named Glenn is awesome.
So they sit down for dinner, and Jesse's just eating like a starving kid here, just shoveling mashed potatoes, and he's being a little aggressive toward the soon-to-be parents, and they take him up to his room, and they bought him new clothes, new shoes, new Nikes, and he's got a pretty sweet view in the house, and they leave, and Jesse pulls out his harmonica, and he starts to play the theme for the Free Willy movie. JD, were you a fan of the theme at all? Give me something.
It's a very infectious song, and I sung it for the rest of the night after watching the film. I listened to it. I played it. I debated putting it on a playlist. Yeah, it's fantastic. This, Mikey J, great work.
Yeah, this, the Michael Jackson song, and then maybe. So Jesse gets on his new bike and heads to the aquarium where he meets Randolph for the first time. played by the late August Schellenberg. He was in over 100 films. JD, thoughts on the character of Randolph?
I love the fact that they had to play those Native American chimes in the background just in case you weren't aware that he was the token Native American in the film.
So Randolph takes Jesse down to the area where he spray painted so he could start cleaning, and he jokingly tells him that they've all become great admirers of his work. Jesse cleans for like 10 seconds before he goes up top, and he gets to see Willie from the top of the tank. And let's listen to our first clip here where Randolph tells Jesse about Willie.
Hey! What are you doing up here?
Nothing. 7,000 pounds, that one. Jaws powerful enough to crush bones to oatmeal. When he gets into moods, you gotta give him his space. You know what I mean? Don't bother him, he won't bother you. You understand?
Sure.
JD, that's a big fish, is it not?
Mammal.
Yeah, mammal, fish. Potato, penis.
Hey, that's been a while.
Yes, it has. Was it interesting at all, kind of hearing a little background into Willie?
Yeah, all right, you know, I concede it was definitely, you know, from a writing standpoint, you want to establish who your big main character is, being Willie. The movie is named after our friend William here.
Yeah.
And it does so in a way that's sort of force-feeding, but at the same time sort of doing it in a way that's organically useful to the story.
Okay.
Because, you know, Jesse, like you said, he doesn't know. He has no idea. He's being educated just the same as the rest of us.
We have our first shot of Ray next, and she's putting on a show with the sea lions. And the crowd is pretty bare here. You can see the investors who are looking around the crowd with disgust. JD, let's talk about Ray real quick, played by Lori Petty. I know you're a fan of hers. I am as well. What did you think about her and in this role?
She's fresh off of her appearance in Point Break, isn't she? Well, we're talking like 2 years from surfing with criminals to taming wild animals in captivity. It's almost like it's a sequel to Point Break.
Okay. It's an interesting take. You know, she's got such a distinct voice. I wish we had a female counterpart that we could bring on here to do a good impression of her.
She really does. She has a unique voice. She looks a little like Tom Hiddleston, but she definitely has a unique voice. And that's not a slight at her.
What?
I think she looks like Tom Hiddleston.
Okay, well, that's a man. Maybe she doesn't want to. What do you mean that's not a slight?
That I'm not that's making like fun of like her. You kind of
look like
him.
My dog Lloyd. It's no slight on you. You just look like a fucking dog with a huge pair of nuts.
No, I'm saying to Tom, you look like a girl.
Okay, so the slight is on Tom.
Not on her.
Okay, interesting twist.
Hey, I love A League of Their Own, don't get me wrong.
Okay, love Kit. Glenn goes outside to try and toss the ball around with Jesse in the next scene, but Jesse's not making it easy on Glenn here. He thinks that Glenn is in it for the money, and Glenn says he needs him to help him out here. He wants to know what he thinks, what he needs. And Jesse says, well, you know, I want an allowance every week. Glenn's like, all right, well, while you're thinking of what else you think you need every week, I need you in bed by 10, in the house by 7. And JD, do you remember ever having like a specific curfew time like this? And I think I know the answer to this, but did you ever get an allowance?
I'm very curious to what you think the answer is.
I thought you would start laughing and go, allowance? What's that?
So you underestimate me.
Okay.
My parents did not give me an allowance. You're absolutely right to to assume and laugh at me for that. Okay. But being coming from an Italian family, and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, who was even had ties to the mafia, had this sort of under the table way of providing for us grandkids. So my grandfather always would slip us a $100 bill. Ooh, anytime we needed or wanted anything. We'd be like, hey, I want to buy a video game. It's $20. Here's $100.
I want you to take this to the store and buy your game. No?
Well, that was extremely racist, but...
What? No, he was Italian. Come on, that's my Italian voice.
Well, let's hear your Indian voice. Let's hear your Apu next.
Oh, shut that guy. Oh, you don't want me to do the voice, or you do?
Well, I don't know. Apparently you're offending minorities in America. That's who Kyle is.
Back at the aquarium, Jesse is painting, and he says to himself, I'm almost finished with this place. He starts to play his harmonica, and Willie starts to swim, and Jesse realizes, oh, I think that's from my harmonica. So he rushes to the top deck where Willie is waiting for him, and he plays a couple notes, and Willie kind of dives down in the water and then comes back up and makes this giant splash, and he splashes water all over Ray. And Ray comments that, you know, orcas are usually nice and friendly, but Willie, he's not. She takes him under her wing, and she starts teaching Jesse the difference between good fish and bad fish. And then later that night, we see Jesse sneak out of the house through the window, but he doesn't go to slum it with his old friends. He goes back to the tank so he can play his harmonica more for Willie, and a light turns on, and Jesse thinks he's in trouble, so he takes off the run. He slips, falls, hits his head, and falls into the tank, knocking himself out. We see Randolph come out. He doesn't see anybody, so he turns off the light, goes back inside. And in the tank, we see Willie push the floating Jesse to safety and save his life here. And JD, what do you think about this scene?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. I laughed so hard when that little freaking Charlie Conway ripoff banged his skull against that concrete.
Yeah, he ate shit pretty hard.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, such an idiot. And he's wearing his brand new expensive shoes. Like, you're going to ruin those. So many times in this movie, I'm like, take your shoes off. You're going to ruin your shoes.
I know. Those are not play shoes.
Oh, I bet you wore your expensive shoes everywhere.
Well, I mainly had one type. They were kind of all expensive, my defense.
Yeah, well, and they are. Can we talk about the shoes for a moment? They're also Free Willy colored.
Yeah, they are black and white Nikes. I thought the shoes looked pretty cool. I don't know that I would have worn them. I mean, they weren't Jordans, but I mean, they weren't bad.
I don't know. They weren't Fila, so that means I couldn't afford them, so I have no clue.
LA Gear. Oh, gosh. Do you remember LA Gear shoes? They still sell those at Kohl's.
I do. Thanks. Yes. Pay less shoe stores.
Going out of business.
Did not know that.
Yeah, get them while you can. Let's listen to the next clip here with Randolph telling Jesse how lucky he is.
You must have something special, kid. That's why Willie didn't eat you up.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. High blood, medicine roots.
No way.
Then you're just one lucky little white boy. You like to sound that better?
Willie doesn't have a problem with me. They appreciate each other.
Appreciate? Yeah. Willie saved your butt.
You know what? I don't know why everybody around here has such a big problem with him just
Willie
because...
Willie does not like visitors in his tank. What the heck were you doing there?
Came to say goodbye. Job was almost out. Didn't want to say goodbye.
Well, just maybe.
What?
Old Indian stuff. Orcas. Ever look in Willie's eyes? Those eyes discovered the stars long before a man was even a whisper on Mother Earth. Look into a man's soul with you, Willie. You won't look at Ray or me. Maybe he sees you.
JD, I thought this was a cool scene. What'd you think?
You know, again, we've got the music indicating that Randolph is ethnic.
Yeah.
But it's... Audience, I'm going to poo-poo this movie very hard a lot of times. But the reason why I love doing these reviews the way that we do is because Kyle breaks down the films in such a way that makes me stop and actually think about the construction and structure of the story leading up to these individual parts. And while it is very formulaic, it is heartwarming.
Okay. Very nice. So Randolph and Jesse arrive back at his house, and Glenn and Annie are sitting up waiting for them. Glenn isn't buying the lie, but Randolph steps out to introduce himself, and he tells him how much of a help Jesse's been, and you know, they could really use him around there. Glenn says, okay, Jesse, looks like you found something you're really interested in, huh? He tells him to go inside and get some sleep, son, and Jesse stops and says, I'm not your son. Janie, that's a tough position he's not a step-parent, but a foster parent. Can you put yourself in that position and what that would be like to try and talk to somebody like a young kid like that you have to parent?
Well, I think it'd be annoying. It's like, listen, kid, it's just a term.
Right.
He's like, I call the kid that mows my lawn son. I'm like, son, get over here. You missed a spot. Get over yourself, Jesse.
You're not my dad. We just met the other day.
Leave Glenn alone. Glenn is the coolest guy in this movie, and you're going to be an ass to him?
You're not my dad. Not your son.
Screw you.
Next day, Jesse arrives to hear Willie screaming, so he runs in to see what's going on, and he sees him in a net getting examined, and Ray is talking to Wade, and she tells him that you caught him in the wild when he was too big, too old to begin with, and Wade tells her that she needs to be professional and make it work, and as they're arguing, Jesse runs behind and sets him free. And when he turns the corner, Randolph cuts him off and tells him, you know, Willie would really appreciate that, what you just did. And then, of course, the ethnic music probably played in the background. I didn't notice it, but you seem to pick up on it. Next, Jesse is picking up a fish for Willie at the market, where he bumps into Perry, who just wants to kind of hang out. But Jesse says, you know, I can't. I got someplace I need to be. And he takes the fish to Willie, and they start to play the jingle. For the first time here, when Willie grabs the fish and comes to the service. So Willie grabs the fish and then comes to the surface of the water, and he brings Jesse the fish that he just brought him. Jesse figures out that Willie wants him to put it in his mouth for him. He says, I'll make a deal with you. Don't bite my hand off, and I'll give you the fish. The two have a pretty cool connection here, and Jesse's now touching him for the first time. And when he goes to leave, it notices that Willie's kind of following him, and he's even doing some tricks, which Randolph and Ray see as well from a distance. And I have to be honest here, JD, I would not be cool touching a giant killer whale near the mouth under any circumstance. What do you think?
Well, it's like that the movie can go in any number of directions at this point, where he legit could have gotten his hand eaten off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Willie could have just been like, wah, and just snapped that son of a gun off.
Right. And again, I think we talked about this last week with a different animal, but like, who would be mad at that? Like, you can't get mad for a whale doing whale stuff.
Oh, he's so uneducated. Like, to just be playing around with Willie in his pen, like, oh, hey, oh my gosh, this killer whale likes my harmonica, which is so convenient. You've got Lori Petty, who's such a skilled trainer, and she can't crack that nut. But here, because he's got a harmonica, that's a cute little kid. Let's let him and the whale get close.
He's like, oh, I know how to fix this. Oh, now he does everything I want him to do. Interesting.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Let's listen to Ray talking about how her and Willie don't get along.
Willie and I didn't get off to the great start. He thinks I'm the Wicked Witch or something because of all the medical tests I had to do on him. No, out in the ocean, killer whales like Willie live in families, pods. Some of them spend their whole lives with their moms and they never leave.
Never?
Nope. Their social structure is really important to them. Over 50 orcas have been seen traveling together. Some of them stay together forever for their whole lives.
You've seen them out there?
Yeah, my dad was in the Navy. He did sonar research on whales. Huh? I used to go out there all the time.
Well, do you do research here?
No, here I'm just a trainer, but I want to work out in the ocean.
I'm going back to school to get my PhD in marine biology.
But if you do that, you'll be all alone and there'll be no one here to take care of him.
Well, Charlie's in school, so
who's Charlie?
My boyfriend, Charlie. Do you have a girlfriend?
Makes you think I want one.
Just guessing.
This isn't him.
What?
Willie, right here.
Sure it is.
Willie's been swapped over.
That's what happens in captivity.
Why?
Nobody knows. Maybe they need more room to really swim.
And how come Mr. Dial won't build Willie a bigger tank?
Because Dial thinks he can treat a wild animal like a commodity.
What's that?
Just a big word Dial likes to use.
So, JD, we kind of find out a lot about Willie and orcas in general here. Anything that surprised you or stood out?
It was interesting to hear that she sort of conceives that Willie dislikes her based on the treatment, which I found to be an interesting assessment to be like, when they brought Willie in, she was the one that did the tests for his own good to make sure that he's safe and healthy. But he, as an animal, obviously doesn't understand those things and right. therefore hates her for it. I felt bad for her. She meant well.
We also find out that Dial and Wade won't build Willie a bigger tank unless they can make money off of him. And then Ray next takes Jesse to the water to teach him some different tricks. And we see Randolph kind of watching with a smile on his face. And then Randolph sits Jesse down to tell him a pretty neat whale story, which when he gets home, he retells to Annie and she just eats it up. And then we have a quick montage after that of Jesse stealing a fish from the market. And then he's feeding it to Willie where he kind of puts himself on this post and then Willie jumps up and eats it. Again, surprising he didn't lose his entire arm. And then Jesse even gets into the tank at one point here. And Willie goes underneath and Jesse kind of rides on his back. JD, it wouldn't be a great 90s movie or even mediocre or bad in your opinion without a just killer montage, right?
Gotta have the montage. The montage makes the movies. This is the 90s. You need the young white actor with the curly hair. You need a good soundtrack. You need an animal and a cause and a montage.
Now, interesting fact. We have done two movies in our archives that have filmed in Astoria, Oregon. Can you name them?
Obviously, Kindergarten Cop.
Okay.
Gremlins? I don't know what you're doing.
It's the Goonies theme, man. Come on. God
damn it. That's right. It is the Goonies.
You're killing me, Smalls. So we cut to Glenn and Jesse bonding. Glenn is closing up shop at work, and he tells Jesse about his mother that had passed away. Jesse kind of leaves pissed after Glenn doesn't believe him that his mom is coming back to get him at some point. And then in the next scene, Glenn arrives back home, and he can't find Jesse after searching all over for him. Let's listen to them as they argue over Jesse.
How do you like that? Just when you think you're starting to get through, starting to make some sense, starting to make a connection, whammo!
Well, he's scared and he's pushing us away.
Well, I'd like to get him.
Hey, don't say
things
like that.
What's the matter? Does
that
make you angry?
Yes, it makes me angry. He didn't have to use that
tone
of voice with me.
He came in the
store.
He's driving me crazy.
You know
what
you're really angry? No, why? You want to know why? Because you have feelings for him. And then
crusades?
This is not a crusade, Glenn. We're talking about a human being.
Annie, I'm happy. Just you and me.
JD, what do you think about this scene?
It's a heart-wrenching scene. It sets the mood and creates a foil for Jesse, his expectations, and what he wants and expects out of a family. It reminds me a lot of Problem Child. And I love the dynamic between the father and the mother and the stepmother and the girlfriend. And I just, can we do Problem Child soon?
Absolutely. That's a movie that I don't hate, but I don't love it as much as you probably think that I would.
No. Okay, seriously. You love Free Willy, but you don't love Problem Child.
It'll make a great discussion. We'll leave it at that.
All right, let me ask this. What do you like better, Problem Child 1 or Problem Child 2?
I have to go with number 2.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
I love Problem Child 2.
There you go.
So good. Also, you said number 2. LOL.
Number 2. In the next scene, Jesse's back at the market, and the guy says, "You're not stealing this one. I have to charge you double." How was that Asian voice?
You hate the Indians. You hate the Italians. You hate the Asians. I'm surprised you didn't ask, how was your Oriental voice?
Well, maybe next time. Jesse gladly pays for the fish, and then back at the park, Perry comes to visit Jesse. He wants him to go with him on a trip, but Jesse turns his back to him and says, "I can't go with you right now." Perry hands him a postcard and says, "If you ever get the guts to go, hit me up." And he leaves. Jesse tells Willie about how he hasn't seen his mom since he was a little kid. He says, "I'm sure your family, you know, misses you too, and I hope you find him someday." He tells Willie that he loves him. Such a nice story. I don't know why you hate this. Outside, Dial arrives at the park and is met by Wade, and they're there to watch Jesse and Ray do the act with Willie for the first time. So Wade starts clapping when it finishes here. Dial's kind of moderately impressed. He's just happy they're going to make some money. And then after it, Jesse tells Dial that he can do it again, and he agrees to set up a show. Dial thinks this is going to work, and he says that this Willie show, it will make money, and that, my friend, is what we are here and what we're all about. One of the things I noticed while watching this scene is just how small the tank looks. And then after kind of digging up some research on the movie, after it came out, it was brought up about the living conditions of the star orca Kiko, Willie, and kind of got the world's attention that his tank was too small, too warm, chlorinated artificial salt water, and that Kiko had been suffering from a weakened immune system and a skin condition in his pectoral fins. So after this movie, a custom tank was built in the Oregon Coast Aquarium in 1996, and the whale was flown from Mexico to Oregon so he could recover, and eventually they moved him out of the pen and released him back to the sea, and he died 4 years after that. So, JD, how about that? Kiko became the second oldest orca to live in captivity. This was like a real issue.
That's obviously very sad, but it brings to my mind 2 points, both which we have not talked about yet.
Okay.
The first, this is film being a medium to create social change.
Okay.
Which was the crux of the satire in Office Space.
Right. Okay, good point.
And second, Wade was in Office Space.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. You're totally right.
How have we not talked about that yet? He is just mustacheless.
You're totally right. Oh my gosh. What was his name in Office Space? I can't remember now. It starts with an S.
He's the guy that gets hit by the truck.
Yeah. He ends up in the full body cast.
Oh yeah.
In our archives, check it out. Yeah, they did actually raise $20 million, which got donated to Save the Whales Foundation after the movie. So
all based on that, like that, what, 5 second little over text, "Save the whales by calling 1-800-WHALES.
Yeah, $20 million for that. That's crazy. Cut to the park, and it's filling up with customers and excited parkgoers, and it's really packed to the brim here. Everybody's excited. In the locker room area, Jesse's getting ready, and Dwight has even shown up to support him. Willie comes out of comes out into the tank for the show. And then Jesse is introduced to the crowd, and right away, Jesse can tell that something is a little off. We cut down below the water, and we see kids are kind of pounding on the glass, and it's real loud. And Willie finally comes to the surface and Jesse pleads with him. He's, please, Willie, this is important. Don't ruin this. And he tries to put him through some of the tricks, but Willie just kind of stares at him and then goes under the water. Ray says to the crowd, like all great performers, Willie just gets a little stage fright. Jesse is upset. He runs off and we see Willie go crashing into the tank, scaring everybody underneath as they kind of like pile out. And then Dial sends Wade down there to see the tank is okay and it's actually leaking water. JD, what do you think about this scene?
Dude, kids are stupid. Why were there no adults or chaperones or mature people to be like, stop banging on the glass?
Right.
They clearly ruined this. It was literally children that ruined this performance.
So we cut to Ray trying to comfort Jesse, and she tells him, you know, he just wasn't ready. And then we see Jesse kind of run off, and then in the next scene, he's kind of stomping down this hill, and he kicks over a trash can. And then Annie and Glenn try to comfort him. Dwight steps in to talk with Jesse, and let's listen to a clip.
So what's up? Show isn't
there. Screw the show and screw the green ones.
Oh, so now they're against you too?
Just like everything else.
You know, I don't think you have such a bad thing with the green ones, Jesse.
And you go live there. Sick of this place. Go and find my mom.
Yeah, you mean you're gonna go hit the streets again?
No, go and find my mom.
Yeah, right. The state can't find your mom. The federal government can't find your mom either.
Yeah, well, I'll find her.
When are you going to get it, huh? When are you going to get it? Hey, your mom isn't coming back. Forgot the day she dropped you on our doorstep? Forgot about that. Well, I remember. Turned around and drove away. Didn't look around, didn't slow down, didn't even look in the rearview mirror. That sound like somebody's mama to you? You got two people over here who want to be your friend. That's more than your mother ever was. And you could use a friend right now, son. Because if you go off on your own, you are going to end up losing big time. You got that?
Dwight, shut up and leave me alone.
JD, what do you think about the speech from Dwight? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good speech. There's a good connection between Jesse and Dwight. Not Schrute. But just, I don't know, like, it was just such an expected scene, and he's kicking the garbage can, and he's vandalizing public property, but this time it's okay, because his whale act didn't go well. Last time he violated public property, he has to be remanded for probation. You don't just get to knock over garbage cans. That is illegal. Arrest him.
So Annie pokes her head into Jesse's room and tells him that she feels really sorry for Willie. She tells him not to lose faith in him, and Jesse's kind of lying awake and he just doesn't really respond to her. And then we see him sneak out and go to the park where Willie is there and kind of wants to play with him now. And he's kind of spraying him with water, which just makes Jesse even more upset. And he tells Willie that he's leaving. He's going to California. He tells him to have a good life. And as he's leaving, Jesse climbs some rungs to, I mean, why not? Just go check out the top of the park, where he sees another whale in the ocean. And he says, wow, Willie, it's your family. As he's doing that, he sees lights coming from the underneath area where the leak was. And Jesse goes down and sees Wade and others causing a bigger leak in the tank. Next, Jesse pounds on Randolph's door and tells him there's a hole in Willie's tank. Randolph says, it's Dial. He's planning to collect the insurance money on the whale. He's worth $1 million. Jesse tells him that they need to set him free. JD, business about to pick up here. What'd you think of this scene?
Oh my gosh, can this movie just freaking end already? Of course, they're trying to cash in on the insurance money by bringing in a welding crew to take off the head of a screw on... Oh my. I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to give you the courtesy. I'm not responding. go to the next.
Randolph is preparing his trailer to get Willie out of the tank when Ray arrives, and he tells her that they're trying to kill Willie and they're going to set him free. He tells her to turn on the number 2 pump where we see the tank has already lost about 8 feet of water, and they're trying to load Willie up, but he just won't move. So Jesse jumps in the tank and starts directing him to the right spot. He gets Willie clipped in, and they finally lift him out of the tank with Jesse on his back. Randolph loads Willie onto the trailer, and then he says, how are we going to pull him? We cut to Glenn's house, where we see Jesse and Randolph stealing Glenn's truck. He hears them run over the garbage can and pull away, and he calls the police. Well, he doesn't know it's Jesse, but he knows somebody took his truck. Annie stops him and says, hey, Jesse's gone. They try and get in touch with him on the CB radio, but Jesse can't hear him because he's out with Willie, and they're kind of spraying him down. And then the next shot here is Dial, and he's being told about Willie missing, and he tells Wade to call Wilson and tell him to bring his crew down here. He's more upset about them not having the theft insurance on the wheel than he is actually the wheel being gone. JD, what do you think of this scene?
Yawn, next.
So they run into some issues next. A tree is down in the middle of the road, and they try to back out, and Randolph almost tips the whole thing over. So we cut to Glenn and Andy at the gas station, and Glenn's asked if he's heard anything about a missing truck. And the guy says, oh, is that yours? What about the whale? Is that yours too? We cut back, and Jesse finally caves and calls for help, where Glenn and Annie arrive, and Glenn wants to know what the heck is going on. He tells them they're about ready to kill Willie, and he begs Glenn to help and says he has to look after Willie and do what's best for him. He says, please, Glenn, please, I'm asking you for your help. He's going to die. Glenn agrees to help him, and they're able to set up a winch and get the truck and the trailer safe. And Glenn is now driving as he backs out with ease, and they're back on the road, but Dial's men are in hot pursuit. Ray tells Glenn that they need to wet him down completely. Glenn says, I know just where to go, as they pull into a self car wash and they wet him down. JD, one thought here. Glenn's kind of a badass, is he not? I like that he's taking charge.
Glenn is the redeeming quality of this movie. My favorite Glenn moment is still yet to come. But okay. The fact that they try to back the truck up and Indian Jim can't do it to Tonka. I'm sorry, am I being racist now? He can't do it. But Glenn... Oh, okay. Let me show you all how to back up a truck with a whale on a mountain path in a forest road. Glenn knows how to party.
Yes, he does. So the sun is up and they arrive at the marina where Dial and Wade are waiting at the gate. And Glenn just floors it here, drives right through the gate. They have to dive out of the way.
Badass then, Glenn.
Yes. And then he just throws it right in reverse and drives right into the water backwards. Jesse wants to know why he won't move, and he pleads with Willie to go, and Wade and all his goons here kind of jumping into the water, and Wade pulls Jesse off of Willie, which Glenn responds with knocking him off and going, get off my boy, and he punches him in the face.
Favorite part in this entire movie right there. Glenn, waist deep in water, you're a thug mother effer, I'm just going to pop you one in the chin.
So
he
Willie
doesn't even
finally,
think about it.
Yeah. And Willie takes off, he starts swimming, and we see in the distance, though, nets are being set up, and Dial tells his men that the water's 20 feet deep. Those nets are going to touch all the way at the bottom. Jesse doesn't think he's going to make it, so he gets out of the water and just takes off, and he tells Willie to follow him. He sprints to the rocks, and he's kind of the rocks that are set up dividing the marina from the ocean. Let's listen to a clip from Jesse here.
Shoot.
So Jesse stands up and says, I know you can do it. I know you can jump the wall. You can be free. You can jump it. Under the water, we see Willie picking up steam. And Jesse, I don't know what he really says here, but he's like, sa na 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 na. And then Randolph repeats it. And we see Willie rise up out of the water. and jump right over the wall. We've got our climactic ending, and the camera cuts the dial who says, God, I hate that whale. Jesse watches as Willie swims away, and he says, bye, Willie. I'll miss you. See you again sometime. Annie and Glenn come up to Jesse, who hugs them both and thanks them for their help. And Annie says, let's go home. And we end with a shot of Willie swimming as the credits roll. And we'll go ahead and insert the Michael Jackson song here, but that starts the play as well. JD, what did you think about the ending of the movie?
Come on. The whale couldn't jump over a net at surface level to save itself in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
When the ships are pushing in on him, but all of a sudden it can jump not over the height of the rocks, but dumbass Jesse is adding 4'6" by standing on the middle where Willie has to jump over. We know he can't clear 2 inches of water.
Yeah. But now he's jumping a good 20 feet.
Just stand to the side. Let him jump over the... Oh, no, you're not going to do that, Jesse. Charlie, you're going to be a dumbass little kid. He's lucky he didn't get flopped on and kill both him and Willie.
How awesome would this be if there was like another version of this movie where the whale jumps and splatters him like a tomato?
I feel like that's a scene in the TV show The Critic. Or maybe Family Guy. I feel like that's done on some animated series.
So the film is 26 years old now. Man, I feel like the movie's kind of stood the test of time. I don't think it's aged too terribly over the years. I know it was your first watch. But, I mean, comparatively to other, like, 1993 movies, do you feel like it's super outdated or it kind of keeps the touch that it has?
I think that at its heart, it keeps the touch. I think that there's still a conversation to be had over conservation and green living and save the whales. I think that's very important. The CGI scene at the end was horrible.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on, let's be honest. It was laughably horrible.
But what do you look forward to most when we come back next week for Free Willy 2?
Oh, yeah. You're looking forward to finding a new co-host because that's not happening.
Oh, gosh. No, but we will be back next week with an all new episode. We're going to be doing Ready the Rumble. JD, what are you looking forward to when we discuss Ready the Rumble with Pat from the Paranormal Pativity podcast?
Looking forward to an actual movie with substance, heart, purpose, story, acting. Maybe not the soundtrack, but it's going to be a fun watch and a fun listen. And it's going to kick off wrestling week in a great way.
Yep. Be prepared. I've got some very solid David Arquette impressions. I love the scene with the butt juice from the Slurpee where it locks up his brain. That's an awesome scene. Ready to discuss that. Also, we got Macho Man for the first time. JD, give me the impression.
Ooh, yeah.
So, yeah, totally looking forward to that. As always, make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox, YouTube. It's totally free, and it will help us grow this podcast. Just make sure you drop us a 5-star review. I'm at KAutry29, JD's at UnjustJustin, and we're at Back in Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you give us a follow, but we're out of time. Time to get back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Yeah, this movie sucked.